Hi, Jim Paletti here. I want to take just a few minutes to discuss with you the dosage forms that are commonly used for BHRT. Every type of dosage form used for BHRT has its advantages and disadvantages. When deciding on the best dosage form for any individual patient, two important factors are patient compliance, and are they going to accept and use that form correctly, and appropriate testing for dosage adjustments. Let's go over some of the more common dosage forms. Oral capsules. Micronized forms of hormones can be absorbed orally, although not to a great extent. Slow-release formulations are always recommended because that will decrease your stomach acid degradation and extend the duration of action. Oil-filled capsules offer no real advantage as they are no more bioavailable and are not slow-released. Sublingual or buccal route. Absorption across the mucous membrane in the mouth or through circulation under the tongue avoids stomach acid degradation. Patients must be made aware, though, that any of the dosage that is swallowed is most likely going to be destroyed in the stomach acid. Therefore, troches should be made small in size and as soluble as possible so as to minimize the time retained in the mouth. With sublingual administration, levels return to normal in 6 to 8 hours after a dose. So this dosage form should be dosed at least 3 times a day. Often they can be dosed less often, but with estrogen, less frequent dosing usually requires higher daily dosing to maintain effects, and higher estrogen dosing results in higher formulation of 4-catecholestrogens. So theoretically, if you use estrogen in troches, it should be dosed at least 3 times a day. IM injections, they provide good systemic levels, but they are dosed at large intervals for convenience and in most cases result in alternating superphysiological and then subphysiological levels during the dosing intervals. High levels initially may produce more metabolites, which may be a concern for some individuals. Pellet implants are used for BHRT. These are implanted for periods of 3 to 6 months. They usually result in an initial surge followed by a fall off in effectiveness. The dose for the 3 to 6 month interval is often based on one hormone test, which can create problems. For patients that wish the convenience of pellets, practitioners may want to establish the dose that they need first with another dosage route, and after the patient is stabilized, convert that to an implant. One of the more popular forms of dosing hormones today is transdermal or topical. Hormones are low molecular weight, highly lipophilic molecules that are easily absorbed across the skin. No special penetration enhancing vehicle is required. Both the skin cement and fat tissue underneath the skin serve as depot sites for the hormones, and that's which enables us to use them once or twice a day. The target of hormones when you apply them to the skin should be the depot sites, not the bloodstream. In the bloodstream, what is not as bound would be quickly metabolized, and there is a limitation on how much can be bound up. Use of a base that contains penetration enhancement, including alcohol, usually requires higher dosing of hormones to maintain effects. If you're using topical hormones, the only testing which is valid is saliva testing through a good lab or capillary blood spot testing. And the lab that you use should have an established reference range based on data for the route of administration used. Vaginal and mucosal application is another way to give BHRT. When you apply hormones to the mucous membrane, this results in faster absorption of the hormones as compared to applying it on the skin. So compared to topicals, these routes may require more frequent dosing and/or higher doses to maintain effectiveness. There is no one dosage form that works for all patients. A basic knowledge of the different dosage forms and their advantages and disadvantages is very beneficial to a practitioner in explaining their choices to the patient. Thank you.